This podcast is recorded on Wiradjuri country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Wiradjuri people, and pay our respect to elders past and present, and extend our respect to all First Nations peoples listening today. Hello and welcome to the AgTech Finder podcast, where we hear from entrepreneurs at the forefront of innovation and the producers who use their technology on farm. I'm your host, Olivia Carver, and in the coming weeks, we'll be looking at everything from drones to data codes, animal monitoring to automation, and plenty in between. Many of the companies we speak with and the technology highlighted can be found on agtechfinder.com, a food agility CRC initiative and Australia's most comprehensive database of agtech products. Today we're talking about agtech integration, both how bringing together technologies and services from different providers can leverage more value, and we'll be talking about fully integrated systems that not only provide information, but take action. We'll speak to OPS Australia's Andrew Barton about their integrated solutions that are combining monitoring technology with automation and alert systems, improving productivity on farm. OPS Australia is based in Longreach, Queensland, and built to work in outback conditions.
We saw it was that the solution needed to be monitoring and control and integrated together, and that's where we started. What's the point of knowing that a tank, 30 kilometres away is empty if you still got to drive there to turn the pump on?
We're also joined by Elgin Knight from a cattle station at Rolleston in central Queensland. He's adopted an integrated OPS system for their water tank management.
It used to take me probably 2 to 3 hours a week if I went right on bore run. Yeah. So now, by the time I finish drinking my cup of tea in the morning, the bore run's done.
But first, we're chatting to Matt Anderson from Farmers to Founders. Matt will tell us about integrations being undertaken by agtech suppliers who are partnering with each other to offer more comprehensive and streamlined decision-making data to farmers. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on the AgTech Finder podcast. Can you start by telling us a little bit about your background with agtech and what you do?
Sure. Thanks, Olivia. Great to be on the podcast. My background with agtech really actually only started a couple of years ago. Before that, I grew up on a farm in northwest New South Wales, a cattle property where my family still are. I actually went down to Sydney and ended up doing a variety of other things, including a law degree and various other bits and pieces before I came back into the industry. And I came back in via the agtech world. I've been working now at a company called Farmers to Founders for a good couple of years, really seeing how the agtech innovations and then the sort of newer technologies that are coming over the horizon can be worked with farmers to allow to be implemented, adopted, supported by farmers on the ground and to create more meaningful change.
Well, you are the perfect person for us to have on this episode. Can you explain sort of how integrating agtech improves technology's overall impact on farm?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I suppose there's a variety of different ways that it can create that added value that you talk of, Olivia, about bringing in different technologies or integrating different technologies or indeed different data sources. I suppose the sort of simplest way to refer to that value increase is that sort of term that, or that phrase that's bandied around a fair bit in the industry these days about 1 + 1 not actually equaling 2, but equaling 4, for example. And really, that comes as a result of, an individual sensor being out in the paddock that in its own right can be valuable and useful, but it does have its limitations. It's one unit measuring a range of things from that singular point of contact. If you then integrate that with a range of other sensors, a range of other platforms, other data sources from climatic conditions or satellite maps and pasture maps, or if you're in the livestock space, animal data, or all those kind of different sources coming into one aspect, the value and the use of that information and data increases exponentially. So that idea of sort of creating or layering data or layering technology platforms for added value is sort of critical and the key opportunity with that.
What are some of the best examples you've seen of agtech integration?
Yeah, I've seen many, many different examples. And I think the key is that it doesn't always have to be overly complex or overly difficult in terms of bringing together those different sources. It's really about creating that value output for the producer. We had a project from Farmers to Founders that we were running with the Tropical North Queensland Drought Hub last year where we brought Pear Tree, Hamish Munro from Pear Tree, with AgriWeb, with FarmBot, with Farmo, with SIBO Labs, to try and work with creating a seasonal-based insights dashboard for extensive grazers in the tropical north, so that they can get a really good understanding of what's happening in their operation in the wet season, in the dry season, and what are some of the levers of decision-making power they can make for their herd or their mobs or the individual animals based on the insights they're receiving from that unified system. So that was a really interesting way in which showing that added value that they can obtain, and also really demonstrating how data-driven decision-making can often allow for better decisions to be made because there's a better handle on what's happening across the operation. But that happens in many different agricultural sectors and many different contexts. Another example being swarm farm robotics, working with or partnering or collaborating with bilberry systems or goldacre systems to allow for spot spraying, in-field sensing and real-time spraying and green-on-green spraying and things like that, which is really starting to close the autonomous loop for that particular task and using a range of different technologies to do so. But sometimes it also happens in a much more simpler context. We've been doing a lot of work with UK-based international ag tech startups, and an example being AgDrive, which is essentially a digital software platform for contractors to assign tasks to geolocate themselves for the farmer to understand where they are, to show start times, end times, all the kind of processes involved in ag contracting, which then integrates with accounting software like Xero and others. So it's a really simple, it's not an uncommon integration, I suppose, across the technology landscape, but it allows that extra step that contractor might have to do in then getting in touch with their accounting and showing them the data and the information and the invoices that they've got in a manual sense to be automatically flowing through. So those kind of ways in which simplicity can be added to a process or taking out extra steps to allow it to be a seamless flow of information is also a really good example of how it can be done effectively.
Yeah, there's some great examples there. And they're great examples of integration of ag tech through partnerships between different ag tech providers or suppliers or other third parties. But later in the episode, we're also going to speak to OPS Australia about how they're creating integrated systems themselves through combining, say, monitoring sensors with automation technology. Are we seeing this sort of integration, I guess, ag tech taking that next step more and more?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really key opportunity that presents for the farmer as a beneficiary, but also, of course, for the ag tech companies themselves. It's a real challenge to get right because we've heard many instances where that decision-making ability still requires to some degree human intervention so that they can, you know, if it's going out to check water sources rather than having an automated system turning it on and off based on all kinds of other insights, there's lots of other things that are picked up by that individual farmer. With that said, we're moving to a level of sophistication across the ag tech sector where that's being done really effectively. That's going to create a whole new paradigm of value because it's no longer just that decision-making, you know, platform or dashboard that might be visible to the farmer and the producer, but it's actually then the action being taken at the time that it's required to be taken. It's all driving this sort of constant focus towards ensuring we can optimize operations on farm and if things can happen when they need to happen based on information that's being obtained in the field at a particular point in time, that can allow that improved efficiencies and improved outcomes on farm. So that's a really exciting way in which the industry is moving, and I think it's much closer than we think.
Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the challenges that do you think suppliers and farmers face when integrating ag tech? Farmers to founders, you see farmers all the time who are sort of like, you know, doing their own thing when it comes to creating technology or creating ideas that work for them. Do you see sort of farmers integrating this ag tech by themselves as well?
Yeah, you touch on a very key challenge, I suppose, for the industry at large, and particularly for ag tech suppliers when they're trying to seek to do integration. A lot of farmers have all kinds of different systems that they're using on farm. Some are outdated, some are brought from other areas, some they've built themselves, as you say, and making sure that the information can flow through from a third-party device or a supplier in that ag tech sense to talk the same language as what existing systems farmers have on their enterprises can be a real challenge. But slowly, hopefully, we're getting more advanced in what kind of technology is on farm, and that ability to have that common language is certainly becoming more pronounced. One of the other challenges as well is that with these information and different data sources coming together from one area, it needs to be actionable. It needs to provide clear information or insights to the farmer themselves. It was said to me the other day that the technology is really good at collecting data, collecting various different data points from a variety of different areas, but it's not always as good at translating that into information, actual decision-making information that the farmer can have, and particularly probably more challenging when you're bringing a variety of different data sources into the one decision-making tool or dashboard or platform or app or whatever it might be. So as more and more integrations hopefully are occurring across the industry and across the landscape, it needs to make sure that it's being done for a purposeful outcome so that a farmer can pick up whatever that piece of technology or their interaction they have with it and know what they can do and know what it means for them. There's no point necessarily creating data and collecting data for data's sake. It's got to be informative for the producer at the end of the day. So there are a couple of challenges that exist in making sure that it can get to that really valuable stage that we were mentioning before.
Do you think we'll get to the stage where farmers can open up their phone and there's one app controlling most of their ag tech and the data that comes with that ag tech? I know that a lot of farmers, they are just inundated with apps that they're having to look at. Is that something that you think we're working towards and we will see in the future?
Yes, the million-dollar question. I think we are certainly working towards it, and there are several great companies out there that are already trying to provide that framework and software structures to allow that to occur. I think we will get there probably in time, but probably still a bit of a way off. But I'd love to get to a stage where we have an equivalent of a Zapier, for example, for those who've in the product and software development space, which allows a range of different APIs to be called upon in a sort of bespoke system that farmers may well be able to create their own dashboard based on the variety of different providers that they're engaging with or they're looking to work with. But also, indeed, I think one of the other opportunities that often isn't quite as spoken about as well is how a lot of the information that these ag tech suppliers and products and technologies can be used for gain from other people sort of on the extremities of the ag industry or in rural communities. I know Access Tech, a company from WA that has a range of sensors and devices, is looking at opportunities where they can run projects and show, say, water monitoring data and information then being shared with the local firefighting agencies when there's a fire threat, so they know how much water is in a tank that they may be accessing to put out a fire. That's one small example, and that's still in, there's still lots of questions around how that might happen effectively and safely in terms of the sharing of data. But looking at those opportunities where it's not just the farmer who benefits, but others who may well benefit, and that might be for a social good or for an agricultural industry good, biosecurity might be an example of where those kind of sharing of information might well be useful from different ag tech platforms. So it's a pretty diverse, it's a pretty fractured system at this current state, but there's lots of opportunities to try and sort of bring that together. Whether or not we'll get to one app, we'll see in time, but we're certainly heading in the right direction.
Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Lovely to chat. Thanks, Olivia.
You're listening to the AgTech Finder podcast, helping you make confident technology decisions. Go to agtechfinder.com to search, sort, and compare the latest in agricultural technology and find the right solution for your business.
We're now speaking to OPS Australia's Andrew Barton about their on-farm solutions. Andrew says they aim to bring integrated ag tech systems west of the Dividing Range. Can you start by telling us a bit about how OPS got started?
Sure. So my family have had property around Longreach in Western Queensland for almost 100 years now. I left, did electrical engineering. A friend of mine, Keith, a few years ago called, and Keith lives in Longreach and we grew up together, but Keith stayed on the land and Keith bought a mob of sheep and the wild dogs got into them and he didn't have many sheep left. So Keith was a bit upset. Keith rang me up, I was in Brisbane, and said, Andrew, can we develop a system that would detect wild dogs and shoot them? And I'm thinking, oh, there's probably a rule against developing systems that kill. And I said, What if we develop a system that would detect them and scare them away? And he said, yep, that'd be terrific. Now, when I came back to Longreach to see family for holiday, etc., I never thought of bringing electrical engineering back to the bush. But from Keith's conversation, it just made terrific sense. That was the start of OPS.
And can you explain a bit about your products now? Because you've obviously expanded a lot from that first initial idea. And just particularly about how some of your products can be integrated together. Today we're talking about that whole farm solution and perspective when it comes to ag tech.
Sure. So when we started with OPS, what we wanted to do is we wanted to be useful for rural properties, for rural businesses. We wanted to be able to monitor anything on a property. Water monitoring is certainly important, but that's not everything. You need to be able to sort of monitor water pressure. You need to be able to monitor water flow. You need to be able to monitor soil pressure. You need to be able to monitor anything on a property that makes sense. But that's only one half of the equation. The second half of the equation is that you need to be able to control everything on a property that makes sense. So what's the point of knowing that a tank, you know, 30 kilometers away is empty if you're still going to drive there to turn the pump on? So what we did is we strategically built the OPS solution to be able to control anything on a property. So this is turn solar pumps on and off, turn electric bores on and off, open and close butterfly valves in polypipes. And then that integration came together. So the classic example is if tank full, turn pump off. If this, do this. If tank 80% full and within off-peak power, turn the pump on. You know, you can integrate all of these different inputs together into the equation. And what we do is we craft up different solutions that are very specific to the rural landowners' requirements. And so right from the start, we saw it was that the solution needed to be monitoring and control and integrated together.
And what sort of impact are you seeing that have on farm? Where are most of your clients based? What are most of their operations look like?
We cover most of rural Queensland now. Our main database now holds, it's almost 11 million water level and water pressure readings, et cetera. So when someone puts an OPS solution in or an AgTech solution in, the changes are subtle. And we've got a particular customer south of Longreach, and the wife tells the story in a beautiful way. And before they put the solution in, husband would be up before dawn, boots on, out the door, and she wouldn't see him until maybe smoko or lunchtime. Then they'd have a conversation about what was happening on the property that day. But now they've got the solution in, he'll be awake before dawn, he'll be checking his phone. If everything's okay, he'll then roll over and they'll have a conversation about what they're doing that day. So the way they make decisions and the way they manage the property and her involvement in all of that has just fundamentally changed, having a smart solution. Having said that, if there's an issue at, say, 1 in the morning or 11 at night, they'll probably be both up, boots on and out to go and fix the problem straight away. Putting in a smart solution, a smart ag tech solution, just fundamentally changes how you manage a property. And understanding that it's hard to get enough good resources, workers on a property, you're always trying to do more than you've got time to do. And then there's just the productivity thing of the integration. We've got another large customer over near the coast. They're running cattle. They've got a high carrying capacity. They rely on 20-odd tanks being full, water tanks being full. And so we've got a pumping solution that just monitors those tanks or some of the tanks and turns an extra bore on as required to keep the tanks full. So rather than them spending a good part of their time, you know, looking at the tanks, driving over, turning the bore on, turning the bore off, driving back, what they're doing is that they know that that system is always going to be working as required to keep the tanks full. That allows them to work on other stuff. So it's a terrific productivity enhancement for how they run their business.
And can farmers who use OPS, can they sort of see how multiple different sensors and automation solutions are going on the one platform? And how have you found, what's the response been to having that?
Yep. It's really interesting, actually, because showing people real-time data of their tanks and the operation of the bore or, say, water pressure and integrating all of that together onto a single screen is a really powerful construct. It's an interesting thing, whereas some farmers previously would think of the pump separate to the water tank and they wouldn't see it as one sort of picture and they wouldn't sort of bring it together as one solution. I think integrating stuff together and bringing all of these functions together, it's going to be how they work more and more. And if you look at other industries, if you look at mining, if you look at, say, cropping on the coast, these industries have done this for quite a while. So bringing this integrated nature out west of the Dividing Range, out into cattle and sheep country, is what other industry sectors have been doing, and it's something that's happening. It's happening now.
Yeah, absolutely. What have you found have been some of the biggest challenges when it comes to both creating the technology and seeing it adopted?
I think the first one is data communications. If someone's on a property where they don't have, say, mobile service, they'll say, well, we can't do it because you don't have a mobile service. But with an OPS solution, you don't need satellite, so you don't have the cost of satellite communications, but you also don't need mobile phone coverage. So communicating that to different customers saying, hey, yes, you can do this, even though you don't have mobile coverage, it's still possible. So it's sort of getting that understanding of what's possible and the expectations of what sort of communication options exist in Australia today. The second challenge is education about expectations. If you, say, talk to a mining customer, they would expect to have a water monitoring and a pump control solution and an alerting solution, and they would just expect it. But rural customers in Australia aren't demanding that. They don't expect that yet. Now, those expectations are lifting, but sometimes you have these conversations and say, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do this? And they say, well, we didn't know that that was possible. And I think the third one is really interesting is that because we're immersed in the target market, we're not based in the city, we're actually based in the bush, we've got a long list of products that people want developed. So at last count, there were 38 different products. So at the moment, we're selling 6 or 7 products. But on the wish list, we've got 38 products ranging from this to that to the other. And these are all genuine products. And these and people come forward and said, yep, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? And this would be good. And if we do this, can we do this? And so the challenge is prioritizing those and working out how to address them and really just trying to respond to a really well-intended market.
On that, what do you sort of feel are the next big things for OPS coming up?
So we've had our first generation solution. This is our circuit boards and software. We've had them out there for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. What we're doing now is we're working on the second generation of circuit boards and software. So there'll be more functionality. It'll be able to do better things. It'll have better diagnostics. So we'll be probably announcing that probably within the coming months, maybe the next 2 to 3 months. So that's one of the things that we're really working on. We're very excited about internally within OPS.
So what sort of a difference does that make having that, yeah, that new technology there sort of on the ground for farmers?
Being able to monitor more things. So you can put a monitor on a tank and you'll be able to do multiple flows, rain gauge, you know, multiple inputs, basically be able to collect a whole lot more data from a wide variety of inputs is one effect. And the other side of the boards too is it's going to have smarter control. It's going to be able to natively control more things and a wider variety of things, which is really playing back into that integration. But the new boards, the new fleet of hardware that they're working on is really draws on the learnings from having our first generation solution out there for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. No, well, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Olivia. Thanks for having us.
Are you a producer wanting to integrate ag tech into your operations but don't know where to start? Perhaps you're a startup, a scale-up, or an established ag tech company looking to reach an engaged audience. Primex Field Days is the place to be. Home to AgTech Alley, a dedicated exhibition space and one-stop shop offering AgTech resources, commercial exhibitors, and networking opportunities. It's all happening in Casino, New South Wales on 16th to 18th of May this year. Visit www.primex.net.au to find out more. This message is brought to you by Oz AgriTech Association, New South Wales DPI, and AgTech Finder.
We're now joined by Elgin Knight from Bundaburra at Rolleston, Queensland. Elgin has been using an OPS integrated water management system. The solution sees information from monitoring technology used to automatically turn on and off a bore pump. Elgin explains that the integrated nature of the system allows them to keep their water tanks full while saving time, power, and water. Can you start by giving us a bit of background about yourself and your operation?
Our operation is, I manage this place with my brother, with Rodney Perrott. For Rodney Perrott, it's 66,000 acres. We run 9,000 to 10,000 head of cattle, basically old Brigalow scrub and a bit of forest country as well.
Yeah, right. And is it Brahman cattle up there or what's most of your cattle herd?
Droughtmaster Cross, mainly. And yeah, just a crossbred breeding program. Yeah. So we run breeders and we also take everything through to the end and usually kill them at tees in Billawheeler.
So can you tell us about what OPS technology you've adopted and why you decided to put it in place?
About, 5 years ago, I think, I was looking for a new water monitoring system. We've gone into OPS because it was a new company and a Queensland company, and I heard about it from a friend. I use it to monitor my tanks, and I also use it to monitor start and stop a bore.
That must make a huge difference.
Yeah, it makes a big difference to us because of just the time. You don't have to physically check tanks. I just check the tanks every morning when I'm having breakfast, and I can find a problem straight away.
That would be huge because I imagine you're covering pretty big distances out there to check them all. It'd be pretty time consuming. How does it work in terms of turning on the bore?
It tells me when the tanks get to about 80%, it sends a message back to the bore and the bore starts. And then when the tank gets to 95 or 100%, then it switches the bore off, sends a message back to the bore and it switches it off.
Yeah, right. So what sort of impact is having that technology having on the property?
Oh, it's huge impact, but time saving, and because I know it'll send me alerts when it's going to have a problem, like when we have a dramatic loss of water somewhere in a tank, it'll send my phone an alert, and then it's easier to track down where you've got a problem, when you've got a problem sort of straight away, instead of before it used to, could it be, you know, 2 days or a day or two before you realise you had a problem. And now you sort of know instantly when things are starting to go away from the normal cycle of what they have.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big deal, obviously, when it comes to cattle and, their health. And what about the bore being able to be on and off itself according to that monitoring system? What sort of impact does that have?
That's good because it's sort of not running the bore a lot more than it has to. It only runs a lot, like actually when it needs to run. So then you're not using as much power to run the bore, which is a big saving in that too.
So what used to happen? What was the system before this?
Used to be on a timer, and it used to just run no matter what happened every night and in the middle of the day. So and it used to run for 12 hours or something and then switch itself off after that. So sometimes it could be just pumping and overflowing tanks for no cause, you know.
Yeah, right. So have you been able to reduce the amount of usage of that bore?
Yeah, significantly reduced the amount of use of the bore.
And that must make a big difference when you come into dry seasons. Have you been through one of those seasons yet since you got the technology on board?
Yeah, we have. Last year we have. So it was a big help. That bore is also supported by a solar pump, which just runs all the time during the day anyway. It's sort of a big integrated water system that, and through the monitoring, it just, like, obviously it makes, we don't burn as much power because of the bore only starting when it has to.
So how many tanks does that bore supply?
That bore supplies 6 tanks. We have other systems on the OPS thing that's not connected to that bore. It's just, in total, we monitor 11 tanks on the OPS system.
Yeah, right. No, it's a fairly significant amount of tanks. Did you find any challenges in adopting the technology? Obviously, it must be a big thing in terms of just trusting the technology and that it's going to tell you when there's an issue. It's high stakes, I guess, when it comes to water.
Well, that was the biggest issue I had with it. Like, is this thing really telling me the truth? But then if you have the faith to buy it, well, you've got to trust that they're telling you the truth. So when I have never had any problems with it, it's always worked well anyway. Yeah.
So from a day-to-day perspective, what did it used to look like before you had monitoring systems and this bore automation in place? Like, was it something you had to check like every few days or?
Yeah, you used to have to check it every 2 days. Someone would have to do a run around a lot of the tanks just to make sure that everything had water. And whereas now I might only check them every 10 days, like just to check other things around the place. So it's not really a job anymore because the monitoring just sort of puts your mind at rest, and then you just go for a drive once every week or 10 days just to make sure there's no other problems, you know, like just in your usual work thing. You just might drive past the tanks just to see that it's okay.
How long did a bull run used to take?
Used to take me probably 2 to 3 hours a week if I went right on bull run, yeah. So now, like basically, by the time I finish drinking my cup of tea in the morning, the bull run's done.
Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? Are you seeing sort of neighbours around your area with similar sort of properties adopt similar sort of technology in terms of their water monitoring and integrated with the automation as well?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot more people are taking it on now, I suppose because of, like all things, not as many people about on properties anymore. So it's just, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess that they're taking over what used to be a person and somebody had to hire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, well, thank you so much for jumping on and talking us through it. Really appreciate it.
That's okay, Olivia.
That's all for episode 19. Thanks for joining us. You can search and compare hundreds of ag tech solutions, including some of the ones you've heard about today, on agtechfinder.com to find the right product for your business. If you love the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review and tell your neighbours, friends, and colleagues. And we'll see you next week.